If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that the right stuff.biz is 100% listener funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at the right stuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced.
The Daily Show, 11:57.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff. The
Jewish apocalypse.
Riding with Biden. Totally riding with Biden. I'm going to explain later. I don't know what else to intro.
Okay.
So it's on my mind. Just riding with Biden. No. What else? You guys were talking about some weird gay, like, postmodernist bullshit while I was getting coffee. They came back and caught the tail end of it.
Well, yeah, we could do that, but, like, we should do, I mean, whatever you want to do.
That's good.
Know.
That's, like, you, yeah. that's like good, like, racist libtard shit. Makes the right people mad. I like that stuff.
Oh!
So, on the right-wing side of the spectrum, you're allowed to talk about how evil communism is, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the big bugaboo. And then on the left side, you got to talk about fascism.
Right. No one's talking about Jews, ever.
That's the conversations that you're allowed to have.
Well, the thing is, what's funny to me, though, is that right-wingers that talk about communism are either stupid or they're pussies, or both, probably both. But, you know, the thing is, and I used to be a virulent, like, fire-breathing anti-communist myself. Like, I used to hate communism. I used to talk all kinds of shit on communism. Sure. After I was, like, stopped being a leftist in my youth, I became a Bircher-style, like, anti-communist. So I did these politics. I'm not saying, you know, like, I was so smart that I never did this or something like that. Or I'm not even – I'm also, like, I'm coming at this from a perspective of, like – I was there. You can't – I'm not some outsider. I was this way for like 10 years. So, you know, these were my like – I was a card-carrying anti-communist. But the Jewish issue like far surpassed that and clarified everything for me. But the point being that I don't know – right-wingers generally don't offer themselves – don't give themselves the conceit that they are engaging in some kind of critique of a power information system. Like that is something that like intellectual left wingers do, but it's like, there's this meta thing going on now where their critique is itself the information power system, like the racial sexual liberation. Like this is something we've talked about forever. But it's like, what is presented to you from these people, like in academia and in intellectual circles as critiques of power, are themselves, because one of the things postmodernists talk about is how information, control of information is a power system, mm-hmm. and it should be analyzed as such. We're the only ones actually doing that. Those people, they use their pretense of analyzing and deconstructing power systems as a power system of itself.
Yep.
Like when you deconstruct white supremacy,
wow,
you're not deconstructing a power system. You are engaging in one.
Mm-hmm.
And they
because
can't seem to understand.
Because white supremacy is not
this.
A fucking power system. It's
right,
not
because
real.
It's not real. It's fake. So they, and on some level they can't, and same thing with like patriarchy. That's not real either. Like racism on some level isn't fucking real. Like it is, but it's not. What is it's not like white?
It's not organizing society,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's not,
yeah.
At least not in the way that they say that it is.
Yeah. Right. Well, they also then have to fall back on things like it is, but it's all subliminal. You don't know that it's happened. And then it's right. Like, all right, now you're just yeah.
No, it's just not happening.
Now you're just like now you're just making shit up.
So it's you're talking nonsense. Yeah, yeah. So that's the idea, right? Is you locate the conversation on things that are not actually real. If you're a right winger, talk about communism. I've seen people in our circles and it's James Lindsay's fault. I've seen them fall back into like, well, you know, it's the Marxism, the neo-Marxist, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut the fuck
up. The Marxist is irrelevant.
Well, there's that. They do this bit. And what's so funny, though, is here's what's so funny is that the right wingers, then you get right wingers like Jordan and Peterson, who themselves then attack the process of deconstruction itself,
mm-hmm.
rather than the phony, like, no, don't just attack the idea of doing that. Cause then you're just saying like, then you're putting yourself in the position of almost like defending or seeming to defend the phony shit that they're attacking. Right. It's like, no, just use their tools against them. Like just actually,
just keep the false conversation going. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the idea of deconstruction. Like, I don't have a fundamental, this is also a thing that Moebug and them do, is they tell you like this deconstructionism itself is like some corrosive force you should never do. I'm like, fuck that. Of course a Jew would tell me that, right? Like, no, I'm going to break down I'm going to split every hair into 64 parts. It just means breaking your system down.
Okay. How about we use a different word? We'll just say I'm a meta skeptic.
What if I'm just not liking something of yours, so I'm going to tear it apart to its fucking core?
That's basically what we're doing.
I do it to things I don't like, don't do it to things that I like.
Sure.
That's how everybody... That's the thing that I've been thinking about. Like literally, like... What, another thing that, like, Jew and the, like, postmodernist shit sort of let out of the bag was subjectivism. It's like, I can do that, too. I can just say, like, why this? Because this is mine, and I like it. Why not this? Because it's yours, and I think it sucks. Everybody can fucking do that.
That's how everyone really operates.
Right? Like, you cannot sit there with your intersubjective consensus and then tell me that there's an objective one. I'm like, there's not. Like, what are you fucking Ayn Rand?
Yeah, they try.
There's an objective, like, moral truth. Like, no, fuck you. The objective,
like, it's objectively wrong to be anti-gay.
If I get the power, I can create an objective moral truth. But it'll be mine, and I'll enforce it with force. Because
these fucking intellectual types would happily like lap up that shit if they felt like they got rewarded for it too.
Right.
But it's like what is funny is, again, I just can never get over this. And the reason I'm saying this is because I actually listened to some like lefty crap over the weekend. And I was just like, it was not relevant to current politics. It was relevant to like literature, but books, but like, and I was just like listening to this guy and what he was saying was accurate. Like he was talking about the series of books, which I have read some of, not all, and how they were
a Twilight,
like a postmodernist critique of narrative form and shit. And he was going into a lot of this stuff, right?
Hunger Games.
And the thing is, this guy is the guy that was doing it. No, it's not the Hunger Games.
The Warrior Cats series. My daughter reads those.
No, but they might as well do that with that stuff. But, actually, it's a series that is very good, but whatever. We don't need to go into that. And it's actually good because of the narrative devices he uses to break down traditional. It doesn't matter. The guy that was doing this analysis was like a leftist and a literal faggot. And what's so funny is the video I watched was from 3 years ago and he was like skinny. And then I looked at his channel and the videos of today, mm-hmm. he is like obese. It's like literally in 3 years is this fag and he's wearing and he was like skinny and wearing like a 3-piece suit in his videos. He degenerated so much in the last 3 years that he's like obese and he's wearing like pink.
You got like communism and the guy's like starving and capitalism, the guy's like fucking obese and fat shit.
Well, yeah, but this guy, yes, it's sort of funny, but he's not really doing it. Like he was doing it from a perspective of like, cause faggots like postmodernist stuff, right? And the reason that faggots like postmodernist stuff is because they want to break down and deconstruct like heterosexuality. Those that are intellectual enough to just do something other than chem sex all weekend, right?
I was going to deconstruct heterosexuality, but I'm so busy with the chem sex.
I've just been doing meth and having anal sex.
It's been so long since I've heard the term chem sex. Like, I feel like I need to hang a sign. Like, how many days since someone said chem sex? That's like, oh, man. That's just about ruined my day. That's a very Monday feeling.
It's sort of funny. Anyway, I don't know. My point is watching this video.
Intellectual work, but I was high on drugs having gay sex.
What's funny is then, like, what's so funny is this guy made a bunch of videos And then he stopped, and then he comes back, and he's all like obese and like fucked up looking. And I'm like, dude, what did you do to yourself?
Oh, is he like that?
Jesus fucking Christ!
He's like that avocado guy that like was doing the mukbangs.
Something like that. Was going on. In any case, the point was like all of his like postmodernist, post structuralist critiques and stuff. You know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, even in this analysis of this book series, which is in the fantasy genre, right? I was like, because obviously if it's a book I read and someone's doing like postmodern, post-structural deconstruction of it, like I'm just going to just kind of check that out, right?
Oh, maybe it was Wings. Was it Wings of Fire?
And I was like, even in
the Wings of Fire series?
You are actually, you know, and he talked about how, I could say what it is, it doesn't matter. But even in this, he was talking about how like in the book are critiques of power and information systems and things like that. And it's like, okay, fine. That's good. Yeah. It was Wings of Fire. You got me. it was like R.A. Salvatore or something. No, it wasn't. and I was like, funny. Cause I was like, you know what you're doing when you make this video and you make this critique, or in this case, he was praising the book, but he was praising the book for making a critique of power systems. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. The book does that. What it does is basically a typical, like, no good guys, no bad guys. Like, it's not the very gray area, like that kind of stuff. It's a great, the books are great, whatever. But the point is that, and it wasn't Game of Thrones either. It's like, I was like, you are engaging in a power, you yourself are pressing a power narrative here, like you, because you're talking about deconstruction of patriarchal systems of rule, deconstruction of violence, deconstruction of imperialism, deconstruction of these things. And ultimately, of course, you find your way around to white supremacy and to racial, the idea of race, and talk about deconstruction of that. And I'm like, that is pushing a power system. You are doing it right now. And you are so, it is so pervasive that even in your analysis of a series of sword and sorcery books, you are actually pressing that forward. And then these people do something where when people in that scene see this stuff and they get annoyed, like, why are you introducing politics into my escapist scene? Then they have an answer for that that just like stomps on these people, you know? Now, and I wish, you know, that sometimes the people that make these kinds of complaints are not particularly sophisticated. They just want to enjoy their fiction, right? But it's like, so what? Like, why are you taking it from them? And it's like, it just annoys me. It annoys me how their method, it really comes down to, like, also Kevin MacDonald's whole thing of, now this guy wasn't Jewish, he was a fag. He was obviously a fucking fag. And his homosexuality was obviously affecting his physical well-being. But it's just like, dude, like, I was really getting angry watching this video. I wanted to, like, yell back at him, like, so when do we do it to you? Like, you're next, like, in more ways than one. But like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, I saw this this tweet earlier where a guy was talking about how Mount Rushmore is like some sort of fascist,
right?
Simpsons like monument or something. I'm like, what you're doing is kind of hogtying your own discourse. So you're unable to actually describe how systems of power function. Like, is America a white supremacist cult system that, for some weird reason, really loves Jews, man? These white supremacists. I'm talking white supremacists.
It's a system that looks a system that looks for any excuse to exclude white people from something.
Yeah.
I mean, even and up to and including, like, justice for, like, murders and assaults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to exclude like, white victims and their families from getting justice when someone of color
legitimately try to let blacks that, like, murder white people in cold blood, like, get away with it. Yeah. Like, they legitimately do this.
And
what's so annoying is that this is also why, like, it would be, like, the lack of brainal ability on the right is, like, a huge issue because – and the fact that the system works such that they attract people who are more intelligent to every system does this. This is a critique you can make of all powers. They all have like court intellectuals to give some kind of defense of the system itself. But the funny thing is this one is so fucking indefensible And it's given itself, like, if you want to use it like a literal, it's given itself a lot of plot armor, right? Like this.
Yeah, right.
It's got a lot of plot armor, right? It's like, well, that's patriarchy. That's white supremacy.
It does have plot armor.
It's annoying, right?
There's a lot of plot armor. No matter what it's doing, it's always right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, the other thing though is it's not just that the person that is giving themselves the conceit that they are attacking a system that they are decoding, they are breaking down, mm-hmm. deconstructing, looking at the symbols, seeing beneath the surface of Mount Rushmore as a fascist white supremacist monument. Not only is that person not accurately describing America or Mount Rushmore or present society, they themselves are telling a story that is how the current system remains in power. This right. Not only how it remains in power,
defends the system,
but how it puts its boot on everyone's neck. Like, this is how the boot comes down on the neck. You are assisting the boot. You are oiling the boot.
The system, with the narrative you're constructing, it can claim to not be the fascist, white supremacist evil. Be like, no, we're a diverse democracy. We just had a black woman veto a ceasefire in the UN. Look how progressive we are.
yes. But what they'll do then... And again, there's more like – here's more – I don't know what the term is for this. Like if we were to use like terms – is this plot armor? What would this be called? What they do then is they attack when – again, we just keep using the word the system. We could say Zog, whatever we want. When it comes back at like these critiques, which it often doesn't. It often just like accepts them. Yeah, you're right. We are – wow, we're really bad. We are – racist, neocolonialist.
That's what I always say.
And we
say.
Really have to be better
at that because stuff. Every we need to be better at being racist, neocolonialist.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it should be better.
So
at that, but
what they do then is they change the names on like a university. Like we got to get rid of like Sir Francis Bacon or whoever the fuck.
We have to rename.
We're gonna change the names. Yeah. We're going to push down a statue, but then we're also going to help Israel continue to encroach on Palestine. Because we hate neocolonialism or something.
What's so funny is how Israel, what a red herring locating Israel as like neocolonialist white supremacy is too. Because that's what keeps them spinning their wheels on that too. Because that's what keeps them like there's no convincing case at all that America is racist, neocolonialist, like any of that shit. Well, neocolonialists arguably,
right,
but
right,
not in the way that they mean.
You can only argue
white supremacists are supporting the Jews. What?
Well, what's funny is they just locate that. I mean, they legitimately and this is what they tell like these intellectual people, that itself is a manifestation of white supremacy, and they have a complicated story of how that is. But it's like, why wouldn't
Jews have coded themselves as white, you know, and now the whites overnight they believe the Jews all of a sudden.
Right, right. They coded themselves and that like tricked everyone, and so all these racist white people started just like the genocidal fervor of their, and it's not even really the Jews' fault. Like they're being pressured by the masses.
Oh, they don't
of racist
oh, they don't
want to
take
this.
Over Gaza. It's just they're just responding to all these.
Yeah, no, they just have to.
It's like, white rural
the,
rage.
The white, yeah, like the white Christians are makes just like sense. Demanding it. These innocent Jews are like, we don't want to do a
isn't
genocide.
That what Michael,
white Christians are just making us do it. Like
the Jewish man's burden.
Yeah, no, I mean it becomes silly. And what's so funny though is that the only way you can still interpret America as all those like fascist racist things is Israel. Like that the support for Israel is the only real like check they have that even would suggest something like this. But that again then so then even that gives itself its own excuse for existing and also maintains the narrative exactly where they want it. Like it's just, yeah. It's quite remarkable how this all works out.
It's remarkable how it works so good on both sides too. Because on the other side, you got like the rightoid talking about my communisms and my Marxisms, and I'm like, none of that checks out, dude. None of that. But yeah, you know, they do like the wealth redistribution. I'm like, that's actually something Karl Marx is opposed to. So I don't know where you're getting your Marxist shtick from.
Yes, well, they were opposed to like reformism.
Yes.
They're like, if you give the workers money, we won't overthrow the state.
Yes, that's the point. It's supposed to be a revolutionary ideology. If you do that, you're just bribing the fucking working class. Like, that's what they believed.
Yeah, but you know what the truth is? This is the actual truth. Like, the working class doesn't overthrow governments.
Right.
It just doesn't. It doesn't. You know who does overthrow governments?
Middle class people.
Yeah, I was rereading some Marcuse the other day, and he was talking about this threat from like the farmers and the workers in America, because those classes didn't want any part of communism, right? And the irony is, eventually the farming classes were destroyed by right-wing people like Earl Butz and by conservative governments. That's what eventually took them out. And I'm like, huh, wow.
Well, it's free market ideology, right?
Yeah, capitalism basically ate its own right-wing supporters and its own anti-communist. Amazing.
And what's funny is there is a critique of capitalism that the left has, which does have some – that does – hit like some a lot of it's accurate.
Oh my god, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please do so. We'll both be happier for it.
But they get hemmed up on the racist thing, such that like it's like you would attack like American agrarian society, what such as it was, it's been decimated, such as it was, as a racist white supremacist system. Even after slavery, you would still say, well, the system of land ownership distributed land overwhelmingly to whites. Whites kept this land, then they were subsidized by the state, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the fuck, right? Yeah, whatever
they,
it was.
We never gave the 40 acres and the mule to the nigger like we were supposed to.
Right. So they would attack that. But then it's like, well, that's been destroyed. That's been destroyed by capitalism. But then they have a critique of capitalism that actually would predict that capitalism would do that. And they can't really seem to get this, like, all the shit you want to do, capitalism does it.
Hmm.
Why do you still have this critique of it? Capitalism equalizes sexes. Capitalism equalizes races. Capitalism is interested in anti-racism. Capitalism is feminist. It is not patriarchal. It is not racist. It's against those things. Capitalism wants women working. It wants brown people everywhere. It wants cheap labor. It wants people to be undifferentiated other than by spending power. It doesn't care. It wants to destroy nations. It wants to destroy nations and distinctions and gender roles and family and tradition. It wants to do that. You want to do that.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, too, is the moral virtues that are transmitted to you by society, it's the same shit you get from any corporate HR department. Like, those are the more values that you get.
Yes.
Anyway, I mean, don't be racist. Don't be sexist. Nations don't really matter. Trying to sell products and get workers from everywhere.
Yeah. And frankly, throughout the years, there have been some intelligent right-wingers who have made all of these critiques. Very few, but some. Ravillo, Oliver, and what's the guy that Yaki was Francis. Good on this stuff? You know, like... and
Borsley is going to be so mad in the comments.
Why?
Because he's like a big fan or...
Why would he be mad that I said that somebody's a big fan?
So you didn't give him the correct name. He's going to find something pedantic to be mad about.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's okay. I get things wrong all the time, so it doesn't really matter. But, like, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It just drove me nuts. And whenever I dip my toe into looking at stuff like that, I start yelling at it because I'm like, it's so fucking fake. You're so full of shit. If you're going to sit there and tell me that in, like, this present time, in this year, that you are – your supposed, like, deconstructionist critique of – ultimately, like racism, sexism, white supremacy, and things like that is one, not just that the actual sort of like consensus view of all academia, but is actually critiquing how power and information are actually controlled. Like, it's 100% true, but it's almost trivially true that information control is a way to control society, right? Which is why Jews are very sensitive to the critique that they own the media. It's why they see the idea of people saying they own the media as an attack on their power, because it is, effectively. Or ineffectively. It's an ineffective attack, but when you say that, right? Well, who does control the media? Well, it's the Jews. This is an objective fact. Can't be denied. It can easily be proven. And people that try to deny it always embarrass themselves, because all you have to do is just be like, well, let's actually go and do let's be empirical. Let's not do what did this guy do? Who's the commie with red hair? Maupin. Maupin. Well, he responded to this time by saying ethnic groups don't engage in conspiracies. Ethnic groups don't engage in ownership of something collectively. And I'm like, what about the state of fucking Israel? Like, it's just, I'm like, hold on a second. Why is that axiomatic? Like, why are you're proposing that as if that's just true? And you don't have to, like, you're just like, let me, in order for me to make all my arguments, I have to, this thing just has to be true. Well, what if it's not? Like, this is something that needs like to be investigated.
That's classic theory selling, though. Like, I'm gonna have like a theory that is preemptively a priori true. I'm not gonna examine the world to see if there's like any objective counterfactuals here.
Yeah, I mean, the Marxists do, just like Mises did, literally tried to make that his thing. Like, we don't ever investigate the world; we just make shit up and then and then run with it.
I do.
Leftists do it too. They just pretend that they're not.
I do. I just pretend. Like, I just pretend it's funny.
It can be funny. Okay. Anyway, I know that what I'm saying isn't very funny right now, but I'm kind of triggered. I got very triggered watching this stupid video. Because I was just like, God damn it! Like, it annoys how the conceit embedded in this dumb YouTube video that this guy was like. Yeah, we're talking about like you know systems being broken down and critiqued, and I'm like, why did I click this? Why did I go for this clickbait?
But you just like honestly describe what the system is.
Yes,
it's a professional managerial class of neoliberals, and Jews are the only ethnic group allowed to have any influence over it. Like, that's what it is.
And
no other ethnic group has any kind of influence.
They actively promote their own interests, and they actively squeeze other people out. Like,
yep. That's all it is.
And this is, and the very fact that, like, we cannot, there is, I highly doubt that most people, like, approve of killing every person in Gaza. Like, frankly, I really know, as depraved as Americans are, I don't think that's something that really, and even the fact, it's kind of presupposed by the fact that even in the sort of right-wing pro-Israel stuff that you see, they call the left, right? Once again, reifying that bullshit. They call them liars when things like the massacre of people trying to get food happens, right? Nobody wants to admit that that's just what their side is doing, right? And even, like, Jews don't care. Though they know that, like, Goyim don't like it. They know Gentiles find that to be bad, to shoot a bunch of people, desperate people trying to get food.
I think you're in a weird position on that, dude, because it's like they are aware that the average, like, libtard finds this to be reprehensible, but they know that there's, like, a subsect of, like, these rightoids that they can get ginned up on just hating Palestinians and wanting to see them bulldozed and killed, murdered, and destroyed. And
yes, but
it feels almost like they see them as, like, useful idiots or something, like.
The problem they're having, though, is that is, like, the most despised segment of society inside of America.
Yeah, and you would
and
be
they're
going to
become more despised by saying that and by taking – this is a problem they genuinely have. The people that will aggressively take Israel's side, mainly because they see it's a vicarious power thrill for them to see somebody finally sticking it to – because they see liberals protesting. They hate them. They see brown people. They hate them. And then they get this vicarious thrill from Jewish criminality, from Jewish barbarism, right? But that, I think, is a problem in and of itself, because that's just going to make – that is going to steal, like, actual liberals against Israel, because it's going to be – well, I don't want to be standing next to these people, right? And so they have a big problem. But I also think, though, that if you look at propaganda targeted to these people – what do they say? They don't say, we massacred desperate people getting food, and that's great. They say, it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
Yeah,
Pallywood. It's Pallywood, right? So they kind of understand that, like, Jews don't care. And frankly, even liberal Jews understand that this is in the Jewish character to do this, that they will do this. They understand it's bad optics. They don't really care themselves. They understand it looks bad. But they also know that there's that segment of Jews, the real crazy nationalist religious Jews, that think this is virtuous, that legitimately say things like killing children is virtuous because that child could grow up and kill a Jew, that they that this is an, they know that, and they understand that those people have power. So they, it's like a, it's, but the thing is, they, I don't think you can actually, I think it's, I don't think people are quite as depraved yet as to just say like, yeah, no, there's a bunch of starving people looking for food, you can just mow them down. Like, I don't think people are quite there yet. But the thing is, there's certainly enough resistance to what Israel is doing in America and in Europe and in all the supposed allies of Israel, that at the very least, you would expect in a democratic system some kind of check to have been placed, right? Because the numbers are like 100% or like 95% in Congress, Israel gets what it wants. With like there's like a few Democrats and like Thomas Massie that don't give them what they want, right? That don't vote the way they want. That result doesn't make any sense given the distribution of viewpoints in America, where you have amongst young people more than half of them don't approve of Israel. So why do we keep getting this result, right? Well, there's only one answer, and it's just Jews. And there's even been books written about this. Weirdly, you know, so again, but when they discuss this, they even have to give Jews this escape hatch of like, well, it's like white Christians forcing them to do it. It's just annoying. And frankly, I sometimes I'm like, we are legitimately, there may be a few others, but
there's a weird,
we're like legitimately of, the only like people that have the system pegged right. And it's, yeah. You know,
the Israel know. Get Israel getting what it wants 95% of the time out of Congress. Like, it's like it has this weird air of like real politic. Like this is what just grown-ups do. It's like it's cute that you have
yes.
this, you have this like position against them, but you know the people that are actually in charge, you just have to. This is stuff you just have to let go when you make your way up.
Yeah.
Like this,
that's
this
how
is
it's
what we do.
Like,
that's how it is. Like yeah. This is just yeah. These ideals you just kind of have to like, you have to get with the pro. Your theory selling, like having an anti-Israeli. Ideal is just yeah, idealism, it's just like, and it's not practical.
I saw
and,
this, man. This yeah. is what neo-reactionary people right. were doing when we were criticizing Trump for bombing Syria. They were like, "You guys just aren't serious. Like, right. come on now. Like, you can't legitimately expect
You're not immediately willing to just like fucking go back on your principle. You're just not serious. Like, you're not willing.
People
to
even came to us. Yeah. Like, yeah, but you know, like he had to give them something. And I'm like,
no,
why?
I didn't. You have to give him shit.
Why did
something.
He have to give them something?
Why didn't give me anything? Give me something.
Yeah, right.
I got
right.
you elected. Well,
how come you didn't have to give?
I got you elected.
Where does this equation come from, right?
I'll go. What? You know, build a wall, deport them all. That song put you over the finish line, Trump.
Real quick, though, one thing I'll say this: they get what they want 100% of the time,
right?
But they get like sometimes a few people vote differently, yeah. But they get what they want every time. So it's not like they get what they want 95%. No, they get what they want. 100%.
Oh, they get 95% of the vote. I'm sorry. Yeah, I
sometimes I they get some. I don't even think. I think it's probably more like 98% of the vote yeah. because I can think of like a few. There's like 10 Democrats, and they typically there's like 10 or 12 people, and only Thomas Massie on the Republican side that votes against them. I think Rand Paul might buck them in the Senate sometimes too. But yeah, other than that. In fact, one of the things that's been happening is that they've been having to shift. So like a greater number of Democrats are doing performative votes against them in this recent crisis, which is something that they don't like. And I also think one of the reasons Jews are just flooding us with beaners and there's just no end in sight and like no ability to put. That's another thing. Immigration is legitimately not popular, and it is even losing popularity amongst like middle of the road liberals are now starting to be like, all right, this is fucking enough. The numbers are showing this. Whereas a solid majority consensus that like this shit needs to be brought under control and the border is shut down or something has to happen. And it's not doing it.
Well, one of the things
it's actually, not fucking doing it.
It just seemed to do a lot of damage to them was like these recent airdrops of supplies, because it was raising the question of like, well, wait a minute. Why do you guys have to drop supplies from a C-130 when your country is like the biggest supporter of Israel and also the most powerful military in the world? Like, right.
Why can't we just tell the Jews like, no, this is going in. The trucks are going in. You're not going to do anything. Because theoretically, if things were as they are presented to us, Joe Biden, you know, Sleepy Joe should be able to go and call Benjamin Netanyahu and be like, listen, bucko, we're sending the aid trucks in and you're going to suck it up.
Listen here, pal.
But it doesn't happen. So who is Biden afraid of? Right? Like, what? Who is it? What is he? Why won't he do that? Like, he's not afraid of Trump. It's not Trump. It's not Republicans. So, and it's not even the same Jews that are necessarily backing Trump. It's his Jews. It's Jews in his camp.
His Jews.
Yeah, the Jews that are running him are the ones that are like, no. And we know who some of them are. We don't know who all of them are. We certainly Anthony Blinken and the Newland, the Newland Kagan family. Maybe Doug Emhoff is in the mix there, you know, like who knows. But yeah, it's like, you know, they're the ones that are, you know, calling the shots here. It's like, and they're just not going to do it. It's amazing. Jews, one thing that is, there are times when you, like, in your own mind, maybe you could relate to this. You, like, war game things out, and you're like, I could see how it could be advantageous to them to maybe give a little bit here. To maybe, like, just a little bit here, just for optics, for, you know, maybe satiating some members of some factions and, you know, kind of like playing this chess. And they just don't. They're like, nah. Like, everyone's like, can you please stop starving these people to death? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Just no. Like, we're just not going to stop starving them to death. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I've gotten into various debates with boomers and comment sections about that kind of thing. Like, Israel has them surrounded. So when you tell me, like, this is what you deserve, you know, blah, blah, maybe you shouldn't pick fights with people, like, yeah, but they're encircled. Like, Israel picked a fight with them and encircled them. That's so, how this happened. That's how
it happened. That's the boomer, so you're just a coward then. Obviously. But my point is that it's like, but your bluster, like, you're presenting in a blustery fashion, right? But you're – like, so you don't have any admiration for a group of underdogs who, like, against all odds have, like, the boot on their neck and decide to strike back anyway. That doesn't – there's no spark of like, you know, admiration for that, for just the sheer fucking brass fucking balls it takes to do that, given what you're up against. I mean, come on. Like, that's – you know, you're just, like – you're just rooting for the overdog. Like, just
– the overdog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a thing that always occurs to me is whenever I debate these types of people, it's like, so your position on this sort of invalidates these claims that you make about how you're going to fight the government, come and take it, all that nonsense. Like, if the government shows up in overwhelming force, I guess you just roll over.
Right.
And they do. They actually do.
Right.
It's all empty bloviation. I mean, I always want to, like, see how this would actually unfold with a boomer if the government actually, you know, shows up at their house. Like, yeah, man, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I'm not really trying to fight the government. No.
Well,
it's just jokes, man. It's
there's
just
been
fun.
A mixed bag of results of that kind of stuff with them going after the January 6th people. One thing I found is that when there was that brief thing where, and I think this was brought, maybe they're still doing it. So if they are, forgive me. But when they were briefly going pretty hard at anti-abortion activists.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I feel like that somehow, I don't know, I could be wrong. Maybe they're still doing it, but I feel like maybe somebody was like, listen, like that's silly. Like, don't like that. Why are you doing that? But those people actually were not just rolling over. I will give them credit for that. Like, those people were, you know, like they were not like fighting with arms, but you know, they were in the face of the feds, like filming them, following them around, like making a big stink about it, and not just like quietly begging for mercy. So I will grant those people that they did stand up for themselves when feds came to their house on actually what was like literally complete bullshit, like utter garbage, trash. It's like, what are you doing? And it was purely because of, and that's the kind of thing where it's like Jews are like, look, this debate doesn't, we're not really that invested in this, so just chill. But like they had like liberal women at the FBI that were, I think, heavily invested in it. And so they were, you know, they kind of got their priorities twisted. The Jews are like, look, we don't care anymore about this. This is not our issue. Like, why are you doing this? But I don't know. The whole thing is quite wild to me.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with my wife last night. My dad is a big pro-Palestinian, like, anti-Zionist character.
Based.
And he gets in these arguments with people on the internet. So she was looking at his Facebook, I think it was, and saw that he had reposted what someone had said. And it was just really gross, like, Zionist
barbarism, you know? I don't know if it was from a boomer or an actual Jew, but she said it, like, literally ruined her entire day having to read that. And I'm like, yeah, that welcome to my life whenever I look at any kind of commentary on this. If I'm on the internet looking at comment sections, that's the kind of shit that I see day
in,
day
out. So your dad was attacking somebody saying that, or just
saying, look at this bullshit. Yeah, it's tax money. He was going after, like, the Palestinian situation and saying they all deserve to be killed.
Yeah, well, that's just somebody who doesn't live. That's like just a depraved, like, atomized person who's just like, he's eagerly, like, this is a bootlicker. Someone, I'm sorry, people that do that are just bootlickers.
Right. This is the problem is there's a lot of them. Like, there's more than you could think.
Well, they've been convinced that they're not licking boots. Like, they've been told, like, you're wearing the boots.
They're cheerleading on a winning team is how they feel. So it's great fun.
The conversation that made me stop for a second, I was like, wait, no wonder I'm in a bad mood all the time because I see this shit like constantly, like all the time. I'm always seeing if I look the Yahoo comment section.
Still listening to this version of the Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again.
It's nothing but that kind of shit, and it's not just like one guy, it's like thousands of people in there saying that I should just glass the whole thing and I just kill all those sometimes.
When I see shit like that, I wonder how much of that, and I know like given the technology available and given that we know what Israel does, like it is not far-fetched, not to say that there aren't people that think that, because I know that there are, but when I see a comment section absolutely flooded, I'm like, I feel like there's some Hasbara at work here.
I'm sure that the villages probably thinks that Gaza should be completely wiped out.
Yes, but the other thing I would say, though, about people like that is, are they spending all their time commenting online about that?
Are they
playing golf and like drinking, you know, having like margarita parties in the driveway with red Solo cups or something like that? Like, you know, I don't know.
All I know is it is depressing whenever you see that kind of stuff out there in the wild. Like, so this is our civilization, is people cheering on like a fucking ethnic cleansing being done by Jews because you're just completely unprincipled.
I mean,
I don't know.
I'll tell you this, like a lot of that stuff is Jewish consensus building, however they're doing it, because even in the New York Times comment section, I've increasingly been seeing just straight Zio talking points being repeated. And those I think are probably Jews, real people who have accounts on the New York Times with the intent of steering consensus. Cause we know that they do this.
You know, they're doing like aggressive A/B testing on it.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to see what works. I see that on Twitter as well. Like you've got actual Zionist accounts that are trying to become like edgy right wingers. They're doing like edgy right wing Zionism. Yes. And it's really disgusting and gross, and it needs to stop.
Well, the reason for that, I think, is that even if the population of like despised right wing white people in America that's like older, it's not all boomers, some Xers too, that will be the only sort of consistent base of support for Israel. Even if that's all they can get, they don't want to lose that either. So they're trying to find Zionist stuff that will appeal to younger white people who generally speaking, right or left, do not like fucking Israel. Like nobody that's young likes Israel. So they're trying to find a way to get you to like it or to make some kind of argument for it. And I just don't think it's going to work particularly. And that's what I'm dedicating my mission to. Is making sure that shit doesn't work. Making sure the arguments against this shit are always out there. They're always going to have to contend with it. You're never going to have a clear field to the edgy white right-wing scene. I will fucking – that if that's the one thing I can fucking do, that's what I'm going to do. Like you're never going to have a clear ownership of this territory, Jews. Never. It's going to be a problem for you.
Like, space should always be anti-Semitic. It should just always be like just violently anti-Semitic.
Right. Just like, do the opposite of what they fucking say and don't think about it. Like you don't even have to. Like when you sense that their shit, when you feel like, hey, is there something like the Galloway thing is a perfect example. Like just go with it. I said this on my show the other day, and I don't know if it made people angry or if people liked it or whatever. But I was like, it's a test of self-discipline.
Galloway.
I understand that Galloway isn't perfect. I understand there are things he's done and said we disagree with. I understand the same is true for Aaron Bushnell.
I'm going to stop you right there. Yeah. He is perfect.
I knew you were going to do this.
There's, well, no, I'm serious. There is no other politician in the Western world that says this is an Israel-free zone. I'm sorry. Yeah. There's nothing else. I don't need to hear anything else.
Right.
I don't, it's just like, right. there is, what else do you need to, what else do you need to consider? Everything else is just fucking window dressing, crybaby shit to keep you away from dissing Israel. Keep you on board with the Zionist project. Mm-hmm. And he says that he is perfect. And he won the election and you're crying. Like what he said to Rishi Sunak and the other fucking retard. It's like, yeah.
Well, the fact that Rishi Sunak made like some fucking emergency speech after he got elected.
Oh, talking about extremism. Yeah, like
how they need to strengthen their anti-extremism. That also very right there.
Yeah.
That fucking should seal the fucking coffin. Like this shit is not, again, saying it's not democracy feels just like repetitive. But it's like, bro, I don't think you get the level to which it isn't, because this dude, the fact that Galloway won this election, and it wasn't, even Russia shills get on my fucking nerves with this, because they want to locate this as like his positions on Russia, because he's pro-Russia too, right? He's anti-Ukraine, pro-Russia. He was pro-Assad, right? So they're trying to like, oh, they're panicking because, and I'm like, sure, that might be like a small part of it. But dude, the reason the prime minister, the brown prime minister of the Conservative Party of Great Britain, upon the election of one guy, went out and gave a speech saying we need to strengthen our anti-extremism programs with the significantly implication that so this kind of thing doesn't happen again. Effectively almost saying like George Galloway was elected by terrorists, right? I mean, that's essentially what he said. Like George Galloway was elected by terrorists.
So like that whole constituency that I don't like.
Right.
That is terrorism and extremism every single time. Now, if I like the outcome, it's fine.
Right, and it's just, it's so fucking transparent. It's like, literally, you are accusing that entire constituency of being terrorists and extremists because they voted for and it's like, and you know, like, why did he do that? Like, it's not that, I didn't know this, but apparently it's not that common for the prime minister to emerge from the door of number 10 and go and step in front of the mics and give a little press conference, kind of like off the cuff, right? Like, that's fairly rare.
This is specifically what a center-right, like, political party is supposed to prevent stuff like this happening. This kind of support for a guy like that. You're supposed, you're literally supposed to keep like your people like engaged with pro-Zionism, go Israel. Like that's.
Well, frankly, at the last ditch, what you're supposed to do is prevent white people and Muslims from voting on the same ticket.
Well, generally that's,
that's not a
problem. There's not a lot of places where those two constituencies sit side by side with a deciding factor. And like, usually just like, they're just, it's kind of spread all over the place, but well, yeah, that's an old Jewish trick too. It's like, keep the Muslims and the white guys away from each other because make sure they hate each other more than they hate us.
Well, they want to keep them away from each other politically, but geographically they want them mixed together.
Yeah, that's a new
development.
That's what I was saying. That's like a new development. Yeah, it's a more modern.
Yeah, I don't know everything about the demographic geography of the UK, but I from my understanding, I also lied with an agenda saying that constituency was 40% Muslim. Someone said it was actually only 30%, but it doesn't, it's like whatever, like again. But even then it's like, well, here's the thing. You could have a guy who says this is an Israel-free zone, or you could have a guy who doesn't say that.
Right.
For the guy who's going to say that, he has to get some Muslims to vote for him. Otherwise he won't win. So he did what he needed to win, so he could say it's an Israel-free zone. He didn't put the Muslims there. Rishi Sunak put them there. The Tories put them there.
Yep.
There has been, under a Tory government, the flood of immigrants. So for Tories to go out there and be like, this is the price of immigration, or this is the price of, like, it's like, well,
I think you know, Ike responded, like, Brimley was crying about it. So I guess, I don't remember how he.
But again, it's like.
He say specifically.
Why is this is like the one benefit of it? Like the this is like the one silver lining to the dark clouds of like the demographic issues, right? The one thing that one guy actually here's how you should look at it. This guy actually managed to take that shit and use it against the Jews.
Yeah.
He managed to take their demographic shit and use it against them.
Well, no, you're supposed to be like, look what you've done, Jews. Work with us instead. And they'll change your mind, and they're just kind of like, no.
No. Now, honestly, I am of the opinion that given, and this is purely speculation, I don't know, given that interview we watched on Friday, where that reporter was essentially alleging election fraud. Now, I said like I didn't really have much.
He had the worst kind of allegation that I can't stand. He's like, if you won free and clear, then why is the prime minister alleging intimidation? It's like, oh, why is the loser alleging that he feels intimidated by losers? It's like, that is the worst kind. Like, how are you not guilty if someone's accusing you of something retarded?
I would have been like, legitimately, one thing is if George Galloway, again, I know I said I didn't have much staircase wit, but I did eventually come up with a bunch of it, like, because you're always going to. One great thing he could have said, what about, did you say that about Donald Trump? Because what that would do, not that, like, I believe that Donald Trump's allegations, I mean, in fact, it would work perfectly because Donald Trump's allegations of election fraud were just like dismissed by these people. They weren't taken seriously at all. And probably because they were not true. Like, those were false allegations. But like, it's like, do you think that reporter, do you think the BBC treated Donald Trump's, like, I know, in fact, I don't even need to get, I know how they just immediately dismissed it. They treated it as if it was fucking clown shit. So why is your allegation not clown shit too? Like, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like, just, you know, and it's just like, I mean, yeah, the best thing you should have said, like, why do you think Rishi Sunak said it? Well, because he fucking lost. Like, duh.
That's basically what he said. Like, I have the mandate here, deal with it. Like, I won, deal with it, is what you're saying. Like, I won here, you won. You left, you came in third. You've seen all this shit.
You'll have to suck it up. That's what he said. And frankly, what I think is, I would not be surprised if they don't suck it up. If they actually do, they're going to launch an investigation. And they're going to pretend to take it deeply seriously. They're going to say, obviously, Galloway, and they're going to use, and I'm telling you, they are going to use racism against Muslims as a arrow in their quiver in this. They're going to allege that there was like gang. Again, I could be wrong. This is what I think is going to happen. They're going to essentially allege that like gangs of youths were roaming to prevent like little old white ladies from going and voting for conservatives.
I bet the Telegraph is already on top of that.
This is one of those things. The Jews cannot. Cannot help but Streisand effect every time something like this happens. So they'll probably make this as worse optics as possible. Just try to like unseat him. You're right. They'll claim intimidation.
No, they will lean into like Muslim gangs roaming the streets causing lawlessness if they can use that sentiment to overturn this. It's like, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, Rishi Sunak went out and started talking about deporting people after this. And I would say, like, here's what's funny. It also proves something, though, in a weird way. Like, I don't think they're going to deport anyone, but let's say they do. It also then proves, like, rightoids wrong. It's like, then, if Jews, like, on some off chance actually do then decide like, okay, now we're going to start deporting brown people. It's like what you should have done if you want to affect that outcome is like team up and vote with them again for anti-Israel politicians like every fucking time. Like literally voting block, go get into a voting block with Muslims and vote for like aggressively anti-Israel politicians every time if you actually want the government to start talking about deporting them, because that will fucking do it. Because I mean, at least Rishi Sunak was saying it. I don't think they're going to do it.
No, of course
not. And they're all there's
and
always
no one's going to check up on it either.
Always.
You're brave.
There's also always going to be a class of like bought off fucking Muslims. I mean, Rishi Sunak himself is a bought off brown person. I don't know if he's a Muslim or whatever he is, but like they will be Jews will be able to buy off a section of Muslim brown people in Britain and turn them into absolute fucking shills and tell them. And I already saw there were some people out there doing this, some brown Muslim people with, or at least brown people with Muslim sounding names out there attacking Galloway. And I'm like, okay, you're just paid. Like, the Jews are paying you to do that. Did we do this on the show? Or did I just do this on Twitter? Because this is something that, like, it was, they were so, we might have done this, I'll say it again. They were so desperate. There were Jews that were out there on Twitter on Friday accusing Galloway of like backstabbing Palestinians. Like, they were so desperate to tell everybody some story that they're like, Galloway is like, actually supported the killing of Palestinians in 2015. And I'm like, well, first of all, that was 9 years ago. Secondly, what they were talking about was an incident where there's a Palestinian refugee camp in Syria that was taken over by ISIS. And the Assad government sent the army in and killed ISIS. And in the process, like, lots of people died. It was a bad situation. But it's sort of like, well, what happened?
We did talk about this briefly, yeah.
Yeah, we did. Okay, so we already covered that. But it's also like, it's also like, fuck you. Like, let's not get in the weeds. Like, if a Jew is coming to me saying, don't vote for George Galloway because, like, that's what on behalf of Palestinians, I'm like,
You don't care about Palestinians. Like, you kill Palestinians.
I'm just like, you're lying, though. Like, that's so absurd.
The desperation,
like,
around this stuff. It's just sad you can't have an adult conversation about geopolitics and Zionism and what this all means. Like, it's just incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
Rishi, I was looking at the Telegraph because the Telegraph is covering this Galloway thing, predictably.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're freaking out. Yeah,
I'll post the link in here. But Mr. Galloway's low jib that Rishi Sunak and Sir Keir Starmer are two cheeks of the same backside.
Yeah, it's not that's banked. I saw that. Yeah, that was good shit.
Two chicks. So wait, are they legitimately like finger wagging that he made that gag? Like, are they like, how you don't get to make jokes?
They're lamenting that this is becoming normalized to say this kind of stuff.
What, like, well, thumbing your nose at the Zionist establishment? Yeah, good.
I mean, normalize. But it's almost like it's like. Excuse me, you're like clutching pearls over a butt joke. Are you fucking kidding me?
See, this is like this guy's using like the Donald Trump thing to good ends, you know? How Donald Trump just came in like, yeah, but all this decorum is faggy, and I'm just going to insult my way through a presidency, but it was all just for... This guy's going to do it like against Zionism, and I love it. Well, it's great. This is what the public wants. The public wants a crass repudiation of their disgusting Zionist overlords. Yeah. Whether or not they're conscious of their overlords being Zionists, they know they're pieces of shit. They know they're the corrupt assholes. They know they're overprivileged, and they know they don't represent them. So, yeah, you call them ass cheeks, and everyone laughs.
Yeah. It's great. Dude, like, you get on the fucking train, and you see ads with, like, for fucking AIDS medicine with male butt cheeks.
That's true.
Like, in the fucking ad for the public to see. And then you come here and you tell me that this dude making a fucking... And, like, let's be honest, it's not like people haven't been making ass jokes, like, for fucking ever. Read fucking Geoffrey Chaucer. He talks about farts and shit in there. Like, it's just... Like, get out of here with this. Like, get out of here with your fucking pearl clutching. Yeah. People made ass cheek jokes in the Victorian era, you fucking homo. Like, just... Anyway.
So this Telegraph article, many more Galloways will fill the vacuum left by the cowardly mainstream parties. the Tories and Labour are alienating both Muslim voters and those worried about political Islam.
Jesus.
See, there's some interesting little takeaways over here. The important electoral difference is that Muslims, at roughly 6.5% of our population, are well over 12 times more numerous than Jews.
Oh, how terrible.
That's...
Hold on. Why are we talking about Jews now? What's going on? Why is that relevant?
Well, it's because the Muslims are going to get their way instead of the Jews, because there's more of them. And in a democracy, we settle this by voting in the outcome.
Really? So
when do we vote on whether or not they voted for Galloway, though? Like, he won, right?
Well, Jews are such a tiny minority. I'm surprised anyone's even discussing their interests at all. It doesn't even make any sense.
Well, it's part of a robust. Robust institutions to keep the majority at bay in favor of these Jews.
What about the Asia Pacific Islanders?
Oh, they're raising the political temperature. These Muslim votes are. Oh no, political temperature's going up.
Oh, man, that's kind of cold.
Maybe it needs a thermometer sub between its butt cheeks to take the temperature. Like, is that done with a rectal thermometer?
Yeah,
like,
you took that.
You took the political temperature with a rectal thermometer. Yeah, it's going up.
Yeah, I saw like the Peter Brimlow take that was like awful that I saw on Twitter. It was like, yeah, he was talking about some generational connection. I don't remember. Some relative of his used to be from that area. I don't fucking recall what he said.
Oh boy!
But it was all that I can't believe that, like, lamenting the idea that, like, Gaza, war in Gaza was an issue in Ingerland, or wherever this, I'm not sure where Russia is. Like, and my, you know, the only reason Gaza is an issue in the UK, in any UK election, is because of Muslim immigration. It's like, no, it's because of Zionist fucking NGOs.
Yeah, it has
NGOs
nothing to do with, like,
sending those right. young men to your country so that they're not fucking, so they're not fighting in theirs against Israel. It's like,
even before that, though, like,
they had a fucking Israeli prime minister, like, what, back in the late 1800s or some shit?
Oh, yeah. Well, his, like, literal name was Disraeli. Like,
yeah, but, fucking Israel is like the, I mean, Britain is like the birthplace of Zionism.
Yeah, no. The British like made way for the Jewish state to be created. The right. idea that it's not only Muslim immigration that makes this Britain's business. You know, this is the thing. It's like,
that's the last thing that makes it Britain's business. Like, you have Muslim immigration because of the stuff you're about to describe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But okay, we also have, like, in America.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Don't have very many Muslims, like, it's, by percentage wise, Britain has many more than we do.
Right.
Yet it is a big issue here. Some per capita as shit, well. Nigga. So this idea that the only reason you would be politically concerned with this Zionist issue is because there's Muslims in your country. What about if there's Jews in your country then?
No, that's fine.
Like, no, seriously. Like, if this is the issue, like, it really does. It's a funny thing to say, right? I mean, be like, no, the reason it's an issue is because there's fucking Jews here, and there have been
country.
For far not just longer here. Than there have been Muslims.
They're in charge.
Right. No, but we don't object to that.
That's not even real.
We don't object to it being an issue.
This paragraph goes to what you're talking about, though. They say here, the Gaza conflict and the ensuing marches in Britain have proved this as never before. The marches' aggression and extremism have alarmed most Jewish voters, most Gentile supporters of Israel, and many millions who have no strong views on the Middle East and do not see why the subject should dominate our public spaces.
I don't know, but it just did, and it just won an election. So
yeah, right?
Suck it up!
It dominates public spaces because of fucking kikes.
Yeah, this is the thing that goes to what Mike's saying here. In an overdue but welcome speech, Mr. Sunak said that what started as protest on our streets has descended into intimidation, threats, planned acts of violence. People resent this embryonic mob rule.
They're basically telling you what it's going to take to unseat the Zionist occupied government there. Like,
yeah,
that's basically what they're telling you. Intimidation, threats, planned acts of violence.
It needs to be like not just embryonic, but like full bodied.
Yeah, full body.
Full bodied mob rule is what it's going to take. You know,
and this guy, he's quoting somebody who wrote into the Telegraph. Islam is a major threat to democracy in this country and elsewhere. So that's what we're going to go with. Is Islam itself is just not compatible with democracy.
I mean, depending on who's practicing Islam,
so what,
it's probably
though?
True. But it's like, it's not my problem.
Yeah, it's my thing is like, well,
They're there and they voted, and look what happened.
Yeah, like no, we didn't do any of this. We avoided all of this. Right?
They elected an Israel-free zone.
You know who's also not compatible with democracy is fucking Jews.
No,
Jews are absolutely the most incompatible with democracy because they insist as a tiny minority of running everyone's affairs.
No. That's undemocratic to say that, and also anti-Semitic.
Well, good.
Right.
Fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me, where's the
like, I'm yes, not necessarily yeah. holding up democracy as something.
I don't think you understand how democracy works. Democracy is when Jews get whatever they want all the time.
That's why I'm anti-democracy. I don't want Jews getting what they want ever. I want them to never get what they want ever again. That's what never again means. Someone mentions, she's like, yeah, right. Never let you get what you want again.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, can I pivot to my, can I pivot to my Joe Biden endorsement yet? You want to do that yet?
Yes, you can do it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, I want to hear what
Alex is still reading the Telegraph, though, and he's furrowing his ample brow. And he's still
reading stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, so I'm looking at these Chinamen on Twitter. That's where all my information is coming from right now.
Oh, yeah. This guy's name is the most reliable source.
Ni Mingda. He seems to be, he's a geopolitical analysis with focus on China. That's what his Twitter says. And him and a couple of his cohorts have been, they've been heavily critical of, like, Tucker Carlson for some time, that I find interesting. They've been saying that Tucker Carlson, let me find the exact quote.
I can tell you why, but yeah, go ahead.
He is part of as I've said before, Tucker Carlson is the Republican ambassador to Russia trying to get Moscow to join Washington against China. So basically, he's looking at, these Chinamen are looking at, like, the effort lately of Republican, not the effort, but the happenstance of Republicans not liking the idea of military aid to Ukraine anymore. And they're sort of basing it sort of on, you know, taxpayer dollars and costs and whatnot. But there's another principle in the background, he's alleging, and that goes to show with the reason why, like, Tucker Carlson goes and interviews Putin for an hour and a half, and then he goes to the grocery store and makes a fool of himself. Because, like, basically they're trying to create, like, I believe the two parties, and this is why I support Biden, because he's not doing this. Biden is pursuing an anti-Russian geopolitical, diplomatic policy, whereas the Republicans are trying to create, okay, we need to bring Russia back into friendship with us to get them away from China, to isolate China.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I dislike this greatly because that you can't really count on either one of those powers to defeat Zog. I think China and Russia combined pose a big enough threat to Zog that it could be destroyed. And I prefer that Joe Biden pursue, like, fucking with Russia, making them mad, pushing them into China's arms, like, stay friends with it. I want the BRICS thing to come about. And
the last thing
that I would want would be, like, a new Republican administration headed by Donald Trump to be, as they say, Putin's puppet. Because I want Putin to hate us. I want Putin to just poop. I can't believe we just said that. Wow. I want Putin to want to destroy us. I want Putin to want to align with the rest of the world to fight against Zog, as he has been doing. And I like that these Chinese guys are, like, seeing through it, and they're pointing out and they're calling it out. Here's another one. Taiwan is soon to be the next Ukraine. The U.S. strategy wet dream. We will be able to fight China there, not here on U.S. soil. No American lives will be lost. We will give unlimited aid to Taiwan. We will fight China to the last Taiwanese, if not to the last Filipino, to the last South Korean, to the last Japanese. We shall have a good return on investment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
tying in with that stuff.
I agree with them. I'm not sure how organized this is or whatever, but I also have to apologize. I did lie with an agenda on a recent show.
Oh no.
And I was corrected by a listener that, in fact, it does appear that John Mearsheimer has come down sort of on what they are calling, they seem to be managing at least a sort of somewhat of an argument in the foreign policy circles in Washington. And the so-called, like, traditional neocons who are, they're all pro-Israel. Every single one of them is pro-Israel. Tucker has actually said some skeptical things about Israel, but I think that's just to keep public interest. But generally speaking, and Mearsheimer has also been critical of Israel, of course. But the traditional neocons are pro-Israel, anti-Russia. But then there's this minority that is emerging. And this is, of course, feels to me like a very contrived debate of what they're calling China firsters, which means people who are like, China is more important than Russia, and are saying things like, we should try to deal with Putin. And essentially, it's not even so much like join us necessarily. I mean, they would love that. But Putin, I can't even imagine Vladimir Putin ever being dumb enough to trust us about a goddamn
that would
fucking
be,
thing.
I would be absolutely floored if he entered in any kind of
agreement. Yeah, I would be
unless
blown
like
away
I would have to be if he was that dumb. I would have to cock my eyebrow and be like, is he expecting this agreement to be broken? Is he expect doing something else?
Well, the question would be the issue I think is more so that they would like to engineer another Russo-Sino split.
Yeah, Sino-Russo, that's what they want.
Right,
but
then I don't think it's going to happen because it's like from the perspective of those two countries, it's like, dude, it's like you don't think, like, come on, do you really think we're fucking stupid? Like, you know, like, I mean, if you were them, it would be like, bro, it's like, I mean, what? Like, really? Are you serious?
I think the problem of that conversation is America's supposed to be able to take on China and Russia at the same time. We don't need to, like, divide and conquer here.
Like an office space?
We're big, dumb America.
Two world powers at the same time.
What the Chinese here are alleging is that the move by the Republicans to shift policy, and I've heard, actually, discussions. This has been going around in certain foreign policy circles, this kind of talk, that the move by the Republicans is to defund Ukraine is like trying to extend some kind of olive branch to Putin to then refocus energies on China and hope at the very least that Putin will like stay out of it. It's not going to work. And most of them don't agree with this. Like this is a minority viewpoint, but it does seem that there might be some kind of argument like this is happening. But again,
who doesn't agree
with it? I just don't. Yeah.
Most of who doesn't agree with it?
Neocons, like the actual people that influence foreign policy.
I'm reading Tucker Carlson.
Like the
Financial Times Russian documents leak he's referring to here is it's all part of the upcoming Republican administration's strategy to reverse the Democrats' mistake of pushing Russia towards China. Washington wants to draw Moscow to its side against China. It's difficult to divide and conquer. That's what that's what my gook friend over here is saying.
And it's probably not going to work.
Well, I mean, it does put a distinction between the two parties, which is rather rare in two different approaches to, I could see it as two different Jewish strategies towards world domination. And I don't like this. I don't support this.
I would be more inclined to look at it like this, that Jews are like A/B testing and they're using the Republican Party as the vehicle. Like if the convincing story could be that it is the actual...
I don't think this is a test, bro. This is not a lab. This is not a controlled environment. Like, there's a couple of, like, real hot wars happening at the moment. Like, I think there's a strategy... there's a strategy of, like, we must destroy Russia through attrition. We'll fight with them, and this pushes them into the arms of China. And Republicans, with their Likudnik backers, whatever, saying, like, oh, this is bad. We should be befriending them so we can destroy China because we want to get our shit into China. It's like
it's like a rear guard action. They're using the two party system as a way of creating the appearance that this is like there's this genuine policy difference here. So like if Republicans get in power, then there might be something for Russia and I'm not A/B test maybe isn't the best way to say it. It's like they're basically trying to do.
It seems like they're
like pursue they're point, a, ba- like, a backup plan.
It seems like they're pointing out a mistake and trying to cause like a policy 180, like from like brinksmanship and aggression with Russia to partnership, because they're scared of the, and it makes sense, those two nations being allies against the United States. That's bad for the United States, and I like that, and that's good. Because I want the United States to be destroyed. I want Zog destroyed by its enemies. That's what we need.
There's a few problems with this, though. One is that it's not going to work because both of them are quite able to see through it.
I hope so.
And two is that the Europeans, although nobody really gives any fucks about what the Europeans think,
they're not relevant.
They don't really matter, but they're
think what
they
you want,
do
but do what
like
America says.
Like they do not like this. They are very much not in favor of any of this, but they don't really matter. So, but here's something that happened that indicates to me that I don't think that this is going to work, because there was this tape that was leaked that was these two
Germans
generals,
right,
that were talking about how, like, not only had they supplied Ukraine with Taurus missiles, which I guess are good missiles, right, but they gave support to Ukraine, like presumably targeting radar, drone, satellite, whatever the fuck, to blow up the Kerch Bridge, which goes between Crimea and mainland Russia on the Russian side. And this is not a military blow at the front lines, nor is it really a military blow at all. It mm-hmm. was directed against Russian civilian infrastructure to harm the integration of the mainland and Crimea economies, right? This is because it's a major route that they use, right? And they've attacked this bridge a number of times. One time they actually loaded up a truck with bombs and then blew it up on the bridge and murdered a truck driver who was unbeknownst to him. He had
in
his cabin. And they've hit it with missiles a few times. And now basically what's funny is this conversation between these two generals, it seems to have taken, or at least the allegation is that it was in Singapore. These guys were, at least one of them was in Singapore. And since it was in Singapore, the thought is that this conversation was intercepted by the Chinese intelligence, okay. who then handed it over to Russia or whatever, like, or laundered it out there somehow. I'm not even sure. I haven't looked into it totally, but I don't know exactly who's claiming what on how it exactly made its way out there. But the Germans aren't denying that it's true, and it seems like it was in Singapore. And so therefore it's like, well, how did that happen? Like, how did that get leaked? And one theory is that it was the Chinese have good spying. They can spy on almost everything that goes on in Singapore, always, and they got it. And they
can see really clearly because he's like squinting so tight. They can really just spy.
Well, presumably, yeah, right. Well, presumably, if you have like German generals going to Singapore, the Chinese can their whatever spy agency Singapore. They have. Really, yeah, that should be something. Let's just listen to everything they're saying.
Do you know what the Telegraph's headline on that was?
What's that?
Luftwaffe spills British Army secrets to Russia.
I mean, technically it's true, okay. but you know they printed that for a reason. Like, that's kind of like that weird vibe, like getting kind of a weird vibe with that. Yeah.
I think Germany is back to being Nazis again.
Well, it's funny because it's like
Russia.
Well, they're not helping Russia. It was legit. The thing is, the secrets were the Germans plotting with Ukraine to attack Russian civilian infrastructure with German, like, essentially, theoretically, this was a direct act of war of Germany against Russia. But Russia's not going to do anything about it. They're just going to keep defeating Ukraine. Presumably, the bait that they want to dangle in front of Putin to get him to split theoretically with China is like, yeah, we'll just let you win in Ukraine. We'll just give it to you. Like, we'll stop funding it and you just get to take, whatever.
Let's do that anyway. I mean, we're
but that's my, if I were him, that would be like, see, that's happening anyway. You can't offer me something I already have. You
Right.
Do something new.
Right.
You know? I mean, I guess they could say you'll have an easier time if we don't send another $60 billion to Ukraine. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe. It's not really worth, like, getting in bed with you people on that shit because...
Well, I know that what Sven is hoping for is that NATO and Russia go to war, and then maybe Ireland will be taken out by nuclear weapons.
No, I don't want the Crown to like reestablish like control over nuclear wasteland. Come on, what kind of reunification is that?
I don't even want America and Russia to go to war. I want like soft attrition to like destroy.
Yeah, and I want as much of the world as possible allied against Zog, against America, so that it falls apart. I want America to not be able to go around the world and put sanctions on anyone because the Russians and the Chinese be like, no, take your sanctions and go fuck yourself. Or you put sanctions, well, we're not complying, and our economy with our allies will support this nation that you think doesn't like rabbis enough. Like, fuck off. Like this,
well, there's another reason.
Like this empire has to end, and it can't. And there's no single power that can take it on and destroy it right now. Russia and China are where it's at, and everyone they can get along get along with as well.
And people want to like poo-poo that or cast doubt on
poo-poo it.
Sure,
it all you want. Like the fucking like then just put they just fucking get a small hat and start doing like those stupid dances.
But my point is like, so what? Like, what's the point in just saying like, what is the point in just not like saying, yeah, go? Like, what is the point in that? Right. Now, the other thing is that,
You know what the point is, Mike? You know, the point is like your small business will do better if Zog keeps going for a while, I guess.
Or for some really? People, I think the point is just to do like novelty taste,
the point is like, why would you want Zog to end? I have Netflix and chill. I have a crappy job. I have whatever, like all the stuff that sucks. Like I don't really want this stuff, these problems solved. I want like the appearance of them being solved by electing Donald Trump or a Republican majority.
I just want to be on the internet.
Other stuff doesn't matter. Yeah, I want to be on the internet. I want to be able to jerk off to things. I want to, you know, maybe you're a higher functioning American because you're not in the white nationalist sphere. So you like already have a family or you have a girlfriend or you have children and you don't like what I'm saying because that sounds.
Well, that
why would I want my country? Why would I want my country to be destroyed when I live in it and I thrive in it? And I'm just like, because it sucks, because it's disgusting.
I don't want it to be destroyed. I want the government.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I want to collapse with the political power, and I want it to collapse here so they can't come after me for stuff anymore. You know, like I don't want them to. You know, we're gonna have to fight like a. I want to fight a rump state when it's all over, an American rump state. That's the best hope. It's like. I want America to have to fight Chinese nationalists like on its not Chinese nationalists Chinese nationals on its own soil like they were talking about there like bring the war here like beat us come beat us and neither country can do it alone like that's what has to happen. What's gonna beat Zog? Us like really wanting it to just die? What's gonna beat Zog? Like you posting on Twitter?
Well, you need
posting,
to. Have,
I mean,
like,
I don't want to beat people up, but like hashtag like. Ban the ADL and stuff like that. Like that's fun and all. It's not going to end Zog. What's going to beat Zog is an outside military force that just wrecks it. Like forget Brexit. You want Rexit?
Well, military Rexit. Defeat is always. It will always destabilize any regime. Man. But the other thing, another clue here that another thing that's happening that would throw a big wrench into this attempt to like it's not going to work. Just so you understand. Also. Another clue that it's not going to work is that in the interview with Tucker.
So wait, hold on. So you're saying
go to the rightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
I should endorse Trump now because, okay, if it doesn't work, he is ham-fisted and stupid and undiplomatic enough that it could actually hasten the destruction of America at the hands of him. So maybe I will be on Team Trump just because he's so bad at statecraft.
Well, I don't want Trump to win because I think that Trump winning would actually make the U.S. government like more popular.
There's that, yeah. But there's that whole
like right now everyone
thank
hates
God
it.
That thank
if
God
Trump
there's that
wins,
whole
there'll be like 30% of people that love it.
But then there's
no
that whole
what happens.
But then there's that whole deep state that won't let him accomplish anything, which is great. Like there,
but
like,
that will then yes. But the thing there is, well, first of all, that's not true because they'll be able to accomplish all the things that they want to accomplish. Like Trump accomplished quite a bit.
Well, they'll be able to accomplish like the deep state Zog under Trump will still be able to antagonize Russia. It'll just be against sort of maybe seen as against like his wishes, but he'll still do it, which is good. So Russia and China.
Now here's something else. Like in the interview with Tucker Carlson, Vladimir Putin threw shade on this idea himself.
Yes.
He said he did not trust that Donald Trump would actually do any of this stuff that he said, effectively. He said something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he basically sent the message like, yeah,
no,
maybe Trump means that, but I'm not going to count on it, essentially. Additionally, another thing is, another reason why all these countries that are these nascent alliances and power, this nascent power block that's forming would want to form even harder is this idea that they're going to steal the $300 billion of Russian assets that were frozen when the war started in Western banks. Mm-hmm. They were going to organize some – there was some roundabout mechanism that they were going to use to justify it, like say that it was going to be used to pay back loans or something. There was some fucking Rube Goldberg machine they created about why. It's not really stealing. It's Russia paying off a debt or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was stupid. It was obviously just stealing. And the thing is, though, that if you do that, if you essentially say, yeah, like, hey, countries around the world, we take money you put in our banks and just take it.
Yeah.
They'll be like, all right, well, now we're going with BRICS. So they'll have a reason to further develop their own. Because when we cut them off from SWIFT, the Russians developed their own payment system. Like, you know, they'll just develop all these systems. Like these countries have the ability to do that. So that would do it. Mm-hmm. So additionally, it's just not, I don't like, literally, why would anybody trust America ever? Like, particularly Russia.
Particularly
given
Americans.
The amount of like already too much trusting of America they've done in Ukraine. Yeah. Like the amount of just lying and backstabbing there alone that was done, like I do not think they are that fucking retarded that would ever be something that they would believe a change in party leadership over the country means.
I wasn't meaning to have a discussion about whether or not it worked. I was having a discussion about like I do not support this, and then I have a clear reason to campaign against Donald Trump, and that's what I've always wanted, a clear reason.
It's also interesting from another
perspective. Because if World War III is an inevitability, like, which World War III do you want to have? Do you want to lose against a united China and Russia, or do you want to win? I don't want to win. I want America to fucking lose. I want America to fucking die.
But there's another perspective here, which is that, like, isn't it interesting that you can't, there's just no actual anti-interventionist option?
Right.
That, like, even in their Finkelthink system they've set up, the Republicans aren't actually just being anti-intervention. They're like, no, let's not do Russia. Let's do China. You can't just, there's nothing that's just like, okay, let's just do neither. Like, let's just not antagonize these countries. Like, that's not, and the people that are actually doing, this is what's so dishonest. The people that are actually doing that, like China first shit, are smuggling themselves in as anti-interventionists. They are selling themselves to the public like they're anti-interventionists, but they're really actually like this China, like let's actually go China, not Russia. And it's so annoying. It's exactly the same fucking thing to me that was like during the Iraq war when, you know, Republicans were like WMDs, WMDs, and Democrats were like, let the inspections work.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, the inspections are meant.
Yeah.
The inspections are.
It's like a tripwire mechanism. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, dude, when you say let the inspections work, the inspections working is the war. Like, that's the inspection. That's what they're meant to achieve. Like, they're not like honest inspections. They're not like if we don't find weapons, there's no war. Like, that was never on the fucking table. What are you talking about? So when you don't actually go out and just say that, because the Democrats, if they really were against the war, they could have used their media presence to go out and say, oh yeah, this whole thing is fake. And like the inspections are just there to justify what they already want to do. The policy's been decided on. The plans have been drawn up. We're going in, and this is just a tripwire, and it's all fake. There's no letting inspections. When you say let the inspections work, you're just playing along.
Yeah. Well,
and so it feels like no. Let's not go in with Russia. Let's duel China. It's just more of the same bullshit. Yeah. There's no actual option to not do any of it.
I just had a real quick thing here I want to talk about before we go. This article in The Sun that I shamelessly stole from the forum here, how Putin is poised to weaponize AI-created deepfake porn, a cyber army in bid to tear down democracies in the West. There's only one problem with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to do any deepfake porn. Like, our politicians are already being caught doing porn, so sorry. Sorry, Putin, we already beat you.
Do we have Bobert footage?
I'm just
going to assume
any porn of a politician is real. I'm not going to look at any of it and be like, that's real. And the more disgusting and filthy it is, the more real it is. This is the assumption I'm working on. I'm not going to even.
What was the most recent story about, like, gay sex in the Capitol and stuff? Like,
people are having, like, versatile anal sex in, like, the Senate hearing room. Like, you know, it's just, you know.
And plus, with people like Lauren Boebert getting, like, fondled in movie theater, like,
that's
sorry, awesome. Putin.
That's what I'm looking for. I'll even take a deep fake of that. It's fine. Show me some. Show me the Boebert. Open Boebert.
Oh, you did not. You could watch the video of it. Problem is, it's another dude doing there. It. So it's like,
right.
Well, I don't want to watch that video. I want to see something more up close and personal.
One thing about Lauren Boebert is like, for a short, skinny woman, she's got like there's a pretty big fucking tits. Like it's
she's
weird.
That's right.
And I don't think that they're fake either.
No, nah, she's had some kids. I think that's
yeah.
Well,
she's got some mommy milkers.
Well, let's go get some wontons and I don't know some borscht. Have some lunch. Push those two together. So we'll do that, and we'll be back after this.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be, we're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.